WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Wednesday morning. Warm Wednesday, but not as hot as Tuesday. Although my watch is telling me we're up to 86 degrees already. The cold front can't come soon enough for me. So one thing I want to make you aware of, a couple of things. One, as we are talking about this heat, keep in mind that the New Bedford police are continuing on with their ice cream socials throughout this week. And if you didn't see that story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app a couple days ago, basically the police go to some of the neighborhoods around the city and just they buy ice cream for the kids. So every kid can have one ice cream on the police. And they've been going to different neighborhoods today. Let's see. Oh, hold on. Give me a second here. I just went to I went to the 2024 ice cream socials. I almost gave you the wrong information. So today they're going to be from 11:30 to 12:30 at Dr. Jabril Kazan Park. They're going to be from 1 to 2 at Temple Landing and from 2:30 to 3:30 at Blue Meadows. Then tomorrow, Brooklawn. After that, Monty's Park. And then Friday, Ruth Street, Benrose Garden, Hazelwood Park. Again, all the info is at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. And every kid can have one free ice cream. Thanks to the New Bedford Police Department. So you can check that out. But also, something else that's happening this weekend is they're going to have Cisco Slam 4 with live pro wrestling. It's going to be a full day of fun and excitement. Starting at 4 p.m., All Sinners is going to play. And if you haven't heard All Sinners yet, if you like 80s metal, you're going to love All Sinners. So good. And they're going to be performing at 4 p.m. and then at 5 p.m. bell time for a full slate of wrestling action. You can get your tickets from Eventbrite. And we have a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app where you can get all the information there. But the whole show is headlined by WWE's Scotty Too Hotty, former WWE superstar Scotty Too Hotty. You might remember him as part of Too Cool with Grandmaster Sexay and Rikishi. Or maybe you go back a little bit further than that and you remember when Too Cool wasn't cool and they were called Too Much and he was Too Hot Scott Taylor. Or maybe you go back even before his WWE days and you remember when he was Scott Taylor here wrestling in New Bedford and he was the New England Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. So this is a return to New Bedford for Scotty Too Hotty. And he's also going to be wrestling alongside his son. His son is here. His son will be here, rather. He's a pro wrestler now. And on Friday morning at 8 o'clock, Scotty Too Hotty is going to join us here on the program. We're going to preview Cisco Slam 4. We're going to talk about his career. We're going to talk about his time rising up through the ranks here in New Bedford and in New England wrestling and what it was like to become a WWE superstar during the Attitude Era when, you know, the things were a lot different back then. It wasn't as corporately polished as it is now. And Too Cool certainly got away with a lot of stuff that maybe they might not be able to do today. So Scotty Too Hottie will be with us on Friday morning. It's going to be a really fun discussion as part of our Fun Friday broadcast. Tomorrow, because tomorrow is Thursday, tomorrow during the Gen X Files, we will have our McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream Brain Freeze Question of the Week. We will have a trivia question as related to the pop culture that we talk about in the Gen X Files. And the winner will get a free porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. Six different scoops of ice cream. You can try six of their different flavors, or, you know, you can get more than one scoop of one flavor if you want. It's up to you. But you, it's really great because you get to try all of the great homemade ice cream at McGraw's. So that'll be tomorrow morning here on the show. And, of course, all week long, we are still giving away tickets to see Shinedown, Bush, and Morgan Wade at TD Garden. You can enter at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. That's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. So always something going on here on the show, for sure. And this morning we're talking about the new police chief in New Bedford. You can read about that at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But Jason Thodey is the new police chief, selected after this screening committee whittled down the candidates to present to Mayor Mitchell. And then Mayor Mitchell made the final decision. I believe it was 21 applicants. He is the former police chief in Hartford. He was about 5 years as the police chief in Hartford. But almost 30 years in Hartford altogether. Started there in 1996. Rose through the ranks. Was in, held a lot of different commands during that time. Was promoted to acting chief and then eventually became the full chief. Led the department through COVID. And then, you know, basically a new mayor came in and it was time for him to, you know, as the way he saw it, time for him to step back. And now, I think that we have an opportunity here, I'll say. An opportunity. So I'm going to look at this beyond, you know, I'm not going to bring into this part of it, you know, the stuff that came out in Snitch City. There's still a review being done of the department's policies related to criminal informants. There's still a report expected on that. I'm not even bringing that into the discussion here. What I'm talking about when I say an opportunity is, you know, it's been a long time since the police department had a police chief that came from the outside. And so this is an opportunity to say fresh perspectives, different ideas, the way things might have been done somewhere else, a city that, you know, you can compare Hartford to New Bedford pretty closely. And I think you've got the chance now to say, what could we be doing differently that we're not kind of mired in the, but we've always done it that way mindset? Because I think everybody gets that way, right? When I used to work in restaurants and I had to train new people, I trained them the way that I was trained and told them to do things the way that I did them, because that's the way that the people who trained me taught me how to do them. And if somebody came in and said, well, what if we tried doing it like this? I'd say, no, do it the way I told you, because that's the way it's always been done. And I was very stubborn about that. And I didn't realize, you know, at the time, and that, by the way, that's kind of my OCD personality a little bit. Like, no, this is the right way to do it. It's got to get done this way. And sometimes I have trouble letting go of that concept to look at a different way of doing things. I'm getting better about it. Especially now where I'm like, well, is there an easier way? Because now I'm all about the easiest way to get the same results. But back then, I certainly needed the structure. I certainly needed the formula to get things done. And so I was not always open to different perspectives and ideas. Just do it the way I said, you know, we're not changing the world here. We're flipping eggs and flipping burgers, and just do it the way that it's supposed to be done. And you just get in that mindset, because almost like you want to be on autopilot. You don't want to think about it. You don't want to have to, you know, you want instinct to kick in for things. And especially being a police officer, you know, you need to have so many things be an automatic for you. You have to rely on instinct. So I get why you get mired down in some of the same ways and thoughts of doing things. But now this is a chance to bring in those new perspectives and to say, well, why not do it this way? Why not try it this way? And maybe that opens up new doors. Again, I don't know that that wasn't the culture. I'm just saying when somebody new comes in from the outside, it gives you that opportunity. You know, here, working in this business, you get a lot of kind of the same, you know, the radio business, to say you get a lot of people that come from one market to another, to another, to another. They move around, you know, they spend time in a market or on a station, and then when things start to get stale, they move on to another place. We don't have that happen here, but that's what usually happens in a lot of other radio markets. And so you get people that come in that have had other radio jobs, and they come in and they say, well, this is how we do things. This is how we do things. And it's like, no. Here we are the disruptors. Here we are looking for new ways to do things. We are trying new strategies. We are trying to innovate. We don't do things here the same way that we did 6 months ago or a year ago. And that's hard for some people that are in this business. Again, we don't get a lot of people that come into this particular building because these people stay. We're all part of the community. But, you know, people that are in other markets in our company will always say, like, I had to, like, forget everything I know about radio to some degree and start over because you guys have such different ideas. But you need something to kind of shake you out of that. So hopefully that's what happens here with this new police chief. Or, you know, at the very least, we have a renewed sense from the community of what the police do. Because as I said before, you know, people complain about crime in New Bedford. People don't want to believe the statistics that are put out. But nobody seems to blame the actual officers as the problem here. I think, you know, most of the time when I hear people complain, I never hear anybody say, and it's the fault of the actual officers. If they just got off their butts and did their jobs, like, nobody ever says that. People understand that the police here have a hard job and they do it to the best of their ability. I think what happens is they're just stuck in that mindset of, well, it's New Bedford. We have so much crime here. So that even when you show them this data, they don't want to believe it. And they're influenced by what they see people post on social media. They're influenced by what they hear on the scanner. And so they think that that means a higher crime rate than what's actually being reported. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but maybe that mindset is because they can't, you know, you see it all the time. When you write anything about New Bedford doing something new and different, you get the comments, oh, New Bedford's such a dump. Glad I moved out. Well, what makes it a dump? Because if you moved out 20 years ago, the stuff you're complaining about from 20 years ago isn't happening anymore. You know, people are prone to that negativity. It's, for some reason, it seems more so here than other places. But that negativity certainly carries through to how they feel about the way that crime is dealt with. So maybe this is just a natural reset for that. So can we start with a clean slate? Can we start with a fresh perspective and say, let's not worry about what's gone on in the past. Let's worry about starting July 14th when Chief Thody takes over officially. Let's worry about what happens from that point on. You know, we can compare statistics, but let's give it a fresh mindset. And maybe that's the added benefit of having someone come from the outside, is you can get that natural reset in people's minds. Or do you think that the mayor made a mistake and they should have promoted from within? 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both on the WBSM app. I'm going to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned. Welcome back in. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment, and we can take some more of your calls. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Also, I am looking for anybody who goes to the New Bedford swap shop to let me know what you think. I don't think I'm going to be able to get over there maybe at all this week, but I did want to go and check it out, you know, take some photos to add into the story that I wrote. But if you get over there and you get a chance to see it, send me some photos. I want to see what it looks like. And if you've got books to drop off, if you've got, you know, housewares, cookware, bakeware, things like that to drop off, bring it on over. Help them build that up. Because, again, it's always easier to be able to help each other out than it is to have to throw a bunch of stuff away, right? That's why I'm big on, especially now where they've changed what you can throw away. You know, I just try to look at things and say, can somebody else get something out of this? That's why I bring all my clothes to Gifts to Give. The clothes that can't go to Gifts to Give because nobody's going to wear them because they're ripped up or stained or whatever, I put those in those donation bins because, as we were told, you know, those places separate them out and sell those off, and that helps them too. So I just look and see, can somebody else use this? And I think that's why this swap shop is a great idea. And I hope more communities start putting more of those in. Right now, though, let's go into the newsroom, get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Abortion rates are rising in the U.S. Consumer confidence dropped last month, and a teen idol loses his battle with cancer.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Americans aren't feeling great about the economy. The consumer confidence reading dropped. After sharply rising in May, most economists had forecast the June index to increase. Conference board analysts say the numbers suggest that consumers still anticipate a recession later this year. Meanwhile, the head of the Federal Reserve says he was considering cutting interest rates until President Trump's tariff announcements. Fed Chair Jerome Powell told a House committee he decided against a rate cut, fearing that the tariffs were raising the prospect of rising inflation. Trump had been at odds with Powell over rate cuts, nicknaming him Too Late Powell, claiming he was too slow to cut the rates. The number of abortions in the U.S. is rising.
According to data from the Society of Family Planning, in 2024, abortions totaled 1.14 million despite years of bans and restrictions on reproductive care. The report found abortions delivered via telehealth have jumped significantly since Roe v. Wade was overturned, but the majority of abortions still happen in person. Abortions delivered via telehealth are covered by Shield laws, which provide legal protections to clinicians who offer abortion care to patients in states with restrictions. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
California Governor Gavin Newsom not backing down when it comes to ICE raids. On X, Newsom says he will not be complicit or silent on the Trump administration's mass deportation efforts.
We rely on the court system. We rely on the Constitution of the United States of America. And we can't be complicit either in this moment. We can't just be silent. That's what Donald Trump wants.
Governor Newsom says peaceful protests create change. Trump and Newsom have been engaged in a war of words since the ICE operations began. Meanwhile, ICE has arrested 11 Iranian illegal immigrants. Monica Nelson tells us more.
The immigrants, as well as a U.S. citizen who threatened to kill ICE agents, were arrested over the weekend. Arrests were made in states including Arizona, Texas, Colorado, and Mississippi. The agency said the arrests reflect the Department of Homeland Security's commitment to keeping known and suspected terrorists out of American communities.
The first tropical storm of the Atlantic hurricane season has formed. The National Hurricane Center's Eric Blake says Andrea formed yesterday, well away from land, typical for this part of the season.
First named storm of the season, but no threat to land. It's headed pretty quickly to the northeast. Maximum winds 40 miles per hour.
But he also says that Andrea is a good reminder to get storm plans and preparations done now so you don't have to wait until August or September. Bobby Sherman is dead at the age of 81. His wife confirmed his death. The 1960s and 70s teen idol was previously diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Sherman hit the top 10 on the Billboard charts with Julie, Do You Love Me, Easy Come, Easy Go, and Little Woman.
WBSM Sports.
Red Sox lost another one to the Angels last night, 3-2 in 10 innings. Those two back in action again this afternoon at 4:07. Couple of trades involving the Celtics yesterday. Kristaps Porzingis heading to Atlanta from Boston in a three-team trade, also involving Brooklyn. And the Celtics sending Drew Holiday to the Trailblazers for Anfernee Simons and 2 second-round picks. And former Bruins captains Zdeno Chara and Joe Thornton have been elected to the 2025 Hockey Hall of Fame. Chara helped the Bruins end their 39-year Stanley Cup drought in 2011. An induction ceremony is set for November in Toronto.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Wednesday morning. The good news is that it's not as hot as Tuesday. How could it be? But the bad news is it's still pretty hot today. Now, largely looking at temperatures in the upper 80s and low 90s, as you get right down toward the water, that's when you'll hit the mid 80s. However, with the humidity, it will largely feel like we're in the low to mid 90s, even upper 90s at times throughout the day. We're going to stay mostly sunny for a good while, but in the afternoon, a front comes our way, and that could stir up a stray shower, even a thunderstorm, not out of the question. So stay weather aware. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WB.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in 508-996-0500. And I don't know how much you've been paying attention. I think once the Celtics got bounced out of the playoffs, I lost interest in what was going on. I did watch the end of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So, yeah, congratulations, Thunder, but whatever. I don't know if you're aware that tonight is the first night of the NBA draft. It's actually two nights. It's tonight and tomorrow. And I remember when I was covering the Celtics, it was always just a Thursday night. And I would get out of work on Thursday, you know, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go home, shower, drive to Waltham or TD Garden, wherever they were holding the Celtics draft party. They started doing them in Waltham when I started covering the team, and then they moved them to TD Garden, and they would do it with like a little buffet and all kinds of stuff for the season ticket holders. But I would go to cover the draft, and it would be a long night. I would leave there like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, drive home back to Wareham, and then get up and go to work at the diner the next morning. So I just automatically, when draft night would come around, I would I'd start to feel like tired a week before. So I'm glad that they ended up splitting it up now over two nights instead of just doing it all in one night. So you'll get the first round tonight, the second round tomorrow. And the Celtics have a couple of late picks. But you would think that, you know, they're not going to get much. Well, apparently now with these trades they've been doing, and obviously with the injury to Jason Tatum, seems like they're kind of blowing things up a little bit. And the talk is that Brad Stevens might want to move up into the draft lottery. So if the Celtics can pull off some kind of a deal, you could be looking at them doing something relatively significant tonight. So just stay tuned for that. But yeah, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, both traded. And this, they're just blowing up the team now because they know that Jason Tatum's not going to play probably all of next season. And so what's the point? When you've got guys who are in the last year of their contract or who are owed a lot of money, in the case of Drew Holiday, and this gets you under that apron, that second apron It saves you money, not only with the players, but, you know, long term, but also for the immediate year next year. New ownership coming in. There's a lot of things that are in flux with the Celtics. But one thing that I can say is not in flux that I have confidence in is Brad Stevens wants to put a team on the floor that can still be competitive. So it might look different, but it's not like they're, you know, doing a full rebuild. Although if they trade Jaylen Brown, you might be able to look at that a little bit differently. Hopefully they don't. And I saw a bunch of bogus rumors going around last night that Derek White had been traded. Those aren't true. So just, you know, take everything you see with a grain of salt. Try to verify it. See if multiple sources are reporting it. Multiple trustworthy sources. But things are going to get crazy tonight with the NBA draft. Especially where, you know, you've got a New England player, guy from Maine, Cooper Flagg, going number one. So that could be something that becomes a major talking point. Not that I think the Celtics are going to get a shot at him, although there was talk that they wanted to try to go for it, but I don't think they've got the pieces. 508-996-0500. And if you are a fan of watching draft night coverage, it's always my favorite thing to see, like, everybody become completely wrong in their assessments of players. Oh, well, you know, he's projected to be the next Dirk Nowitzki. And then he turns out to get cut like 2 months into the season. So you got to just kind of look at it all with, you know, optimism, but also guarded optimism. And, I mean, think of how many players the Celtics have drafted in similar draft position to where they are now that you never saw those guys play. They came to summer league. They stashed them over in Europe. And then who knows what happened to them after. There's still players that I'm looking for out there from when I covered the team. Like, where'd they go? In fact, I remember when I was still covering the team, I think it was 2012 when I stopped. But for like a couple of those years toward the end, they still had Vin Baker on the salary cap. Like that. And he played in like 2005, I think, for the Celtics. Maybe even earlier than that. Vin Baker. Oh, my God. He was such a nice guy that I felt bad having to write critical things about him because he just really was a nice guy. And obviously we know he had troubles with alcohol and that was a part of the reason why he was not playing well. And, you know, like that was a big part of it. But I remember writing a column one night where I think he had something like 15 points and we acted like he was, you know, Wilt Chamberlain scoring 100 in the articles that we wrote because he was just, oh, you wanted him to win. You wanted him to succeed. You wanted him to get his life turned around. And it just was so sad. And I try not to get like emotionally connected to the players that you cover because you gotta leave your fandom at home when you're a sports writer. You got to be objective. And in fact, I used to get crap from people when I would write about the Patriots because they say, why do you find negative things to write about the Patriots? The Patriots are freaking awesome. We got Brady. We got Belichick. Because it's my job to find an interesting part of the story and write about that. And sometimes that's a negative. So, you do feel for them as human beings. And certainly Vin Baker was a guy that we felt for as a human being. And the Celtics have had a lot of tragic stories over the years. And you really wanted this to be one of those, you know, you wanted him to be more of the Bill Walton style, where they brought this guy in who had problems other places, injury and things like that, and he could turn it around playing for the Celtics, but it didn't happen. His hometown team, more or less, because he's from Connecticut, but it just didn't work out that way. Last I heard, I believe he was running a seafood restaurant. So probably doing pretty well with that if he's stayed sober. All right, well, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We will be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. We still have some time if you want to call in. Then we're going to give away to Chris McCarthy in South Coast Now. He's going to have Mayor Mitchell in later. And they will talk about the new police chief, Jason Thodey. They'll talk about his selection And I'm sure the mayor will, you know, give us a little bit more insight into what he expects with the new chief. So that'll be coming up at 11 o'clock. But of course, Chris is on at 9, and he's going to have a great program for you. So right now, I got 87 degrees showing up on my watch. I'd like to tell you what it is outside, but I'm not going out there. But that is what my watch is showing. So we're going to get a little bit warmer, a couple degrees higher. But you're probably outside and being like, oh, the sun. Oh, and you're wasting all of that sunlight. You're wasting it all. Because that could be turned into energy for your home. So when the sun is going to be brutal like this, at least get something out of it, right? At least say, ah, joke's on you, son, because you're powering my home. And if you want to find out how to make that happen, Isaacson Solar are the people to reach out to. You know, you can say what you want about alternative energy plans and things like that, but solar has been a long time proven method. So it doesn't work the way you think it does. Oh, if it's a rainy day, my power goes out. It's not how it works. It collects and stores the energy. How does that happen? Isaacson Solar can explain it to you. Have them come out, take a look at your property, have them tell you if you're a good fit for solar, and if you're not, they'll be on their way. And if you are, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. Set it up now by going to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. Let's go to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Yeah, so I would just like to comment, I think like Ilhan Omar and all the squad and the people that are pro-Palestinian should be pretty happy with Trump's comments yesterday. Of course, he dropped the F-bomb, which everyone in Congress has used, because basically Trump was very, very irritated with Israel. And that was, I think that's where the comment and the frustration came from, because they signed a peace deal, both sides violate, right? Mm-hmm. And Israel drops a bunch of bombs, and then he just, and Trump's like, I just did all this work, we worked with you, and you guys don't know what the F you're doing. You know, because they're fighting forever. So that was total frustration. That was code to Bibi to get your crap together, because you know what, this isn't going to stand. If we go in, you know, with American troops and do some, you know, cleaning up, you better come to the mark. So that's what I'm thinking. I'm not sure what your comments are.
No, I would agree with that. I think it is frustration. It is to the point of, you know, and it's like I said earlier, I don't know if you heard it, but you know, he's a guy that uses that word a lot in casual conversation with people all the time, from what people have reported. So I'm surprised it hasn't slipped out before. And by, I'll say that myself. I say it all the time too. I'm surprised it hasn't slipped out for me on the air. So it just happens. But yes, you could definitely tell that was frustration. And I think you're right. It was a cut the crap kind of moment.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I don't know that he'll get, everyone will focus on the comment, right? And they'll focus on, you know, the F bomb, which whatever. But I see it as, no one knows in that region what they're doing, right? They always want peace, but they always want to fight too. So like this, I just don't think Trump's going to take a lot of grief from Israel. And so, you know, as much as everybody jumps ugly with him about, you know, deporting or, you know, pulling visas for students that are coming here, starting problems, you know, that are totally pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel, that was an anti-Israel moment, I think, and we'll see if it's perceived that way or they'll just focus on the F-bomb.
Absolutely. Thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
All right, I got to take my final break. We will come back and wrap things up.